Welcome to the March 2011 edition of Business Builders. This is your host, Michael Reese, and this month I'm continuing what I started last month. I'm going out there and I'm interviewing some real top producers out there. Advisors out there in the marketplace are doing a terrific job, and I'm very pleased this month to feature none other than Chris Hobart out of North Carolina, out of Charlotte, North Carolina, and somebody I consider to be a really good friend of mine. So, Chris, welcome to a Business Builder featuring you. How are you feeling?
I'm feeling good. Thank you, Mike. I'm looking forward to this.
How does it feel to be the star today?
Well, you know, it's so odd to take any of the sunshine off of you. You're usually in the spotlight, so I hope we don't end up
great.
Fighting
here. We go. This is how this call is going to go. That's great. All right. So anyway, I've asked Chris to come on. Now, for those of you that don't know Chris, by the way, Chris is going to be the featured advisor at the Journey Inn. Is it in April, Chris, up in Chicago?
Yep, last week in April. I think it's the 27th through the 29th in April.
In Chicago?
Yep, in Chicago.
Okay. So if you haven't... And by the way, if you haven't signed up for the Journey, you really want to do so. To listen to Chris open up his business for 2 days, I know Chris is going to do an outstanding job. So, Chris, what I've been doing on these is I've simply been asking some of the folks I've been talking to maybe share some ideas of what you're doing in your business that all of the people listening could maybe take and use themselves. And I just want to preface this by telling everybody listening that I stole one of your ideas. You know, you might remember we were talking in Banff. Now you probably remember a lot of things about what happened between us at Banff, but we were talking in Banff about your sharing with me how you, for birthdays, you would send out a CD that featured the music that was popular when people were 16.
Right.
And you called it like the Sweet 16th. I don't remember what you called it.
Yeah, we made up a little cover for it and everything. I think it was Happy Sweet 16th or Happy Birthday. Here's songs from your Sweet 16. Hope you enjoy on there.
There you go. That's what it was. And you, in fact, I brought that idea back to my staff, and you were nice enough to open up your staff. You gave us the contact person there in your office that helped with that, and now I'm doing that this year. So
have you gotten some good results from that?
From you.
Have you gotten some good results from that? Has anybody
called
in?
Yeah, already we're getting good feedback. And, you know, yeah, you got to go out and buy all the songs on YouTube or on iTunes or something, but that's not a big deal. So, but anyway, why don't we turn the floor over to you here, Chris, and why don't you share with us? I know, for example, you're really big in PR.
Uh-huh.
You do a great job of public relations. Could you maybe share with all the listeners – you know, how you got, maybe where you're at now, where you've been featured, and how you got started, and, you know, and how they can maybe use public relations in their practice.
Sure. Well, I mean, where we're at now, and the thing that I need to preface with this is not everybody has the desire to get to the level that we're at now. Some might want to go past. Some might not want to go quite as far. I personally actually am currently looking for that next stepping stone to move forward. But right now, Mike, what we're doing is pretty much on a monthly, if not twice a month basis, we're a featured speaker on CNBC at Opening Bell, on Squawk on the Street. I've been on Fox Business. In fact, next month I'm going to be going flying up to New York for a special spotlight on Fox Business for about an hour. We're also in the Wall Street Journal consistently, USA Today, Men's Health. Basically, if you name the publication, we have been in the publication. It wasn't always that way, though.
Now, wait a minute, though.
Yeah.
Now, these are the publications where you consistently steal my ideas, if I'm not mistaken. Is that correct?
There was one Wall Street Journal article that actually got tremendous press. and yes, it was something that I borrowed from you, but I do recall a CD you just mentioned that you also borrowed from me, so hey, it's all fair.
I did not borrow, I stole. No, that's fine. So now, how do you translate, though? So here you are, you're on Wall Street Journal, you're on Fox News, Business News, you're on CNBC all the time, you know, constantly sharing with the world ideas you stole from me. but the bigger question I have, you know, all kidding aside.
You know what, I wouldn't have enough time. or there'd be only one interview to share the stuff that I could steal from you, Mike.
So anyway, seriously, all kidding aside, how do you then take all of that press
mm-hmm.
that you're getting, and how do you translate that into doing business? Because, I mean, last year you, like, doubled your business, right? You
right.
went from $10 million to $20 million, and it's just you. You don't have all these people working for you. How did this play a role, and how do you translate that public relation machine, mm-hmm. if you will, to, you know, your hometown?
Well, there's a couple of things we got to think about. One is from prospects, and then one is from the client side. So first of all, let me start with the client side. And we'll talk in a little bit about how we spoil our clients and try and get some referrals built up. But really, when we talk about clients, clients aren't always wanting to refer people to you. I mean, you're their financial guy, and let's face it, they don't always talk about you. We're not the biggest people on their mind, but if you give them a reason to brag, man, these people love to brag. And if they can tell their friends that their financial guy is on CNBC, in the Wall Street Journal, and all these different places while they're out on the golf course or all while they're out doing whatever they're doing, all of a sudden, they're actually patting themselves on the back because of you. They're like, look how smart I am. I'm working with this guy. So from one perspective, from a client perspective, it gives them a reason to brag about us. And I got to tell you, referral-wise, that has gone through the roof, and that's a big reason why we're increasing our referral-based events this year. But from the prospect side, Mike, let's think about it. We all look like each other to the prospect. We like to think we're different, but in all reality, we're all this financial guy. We all, you know, we all talk about somehow money in some regard and this, that, and the other, and people can't really differentiate us, and we don't have a way to differentiate ourselves in the market tremendously and really clear. So the media for us with that allows us to say, look, when we're up against somebody else, I can literally say, look, this guy might be good, but I'm the guy that CNBC calls, the guy that Wall Street Journal, the guy that Kiplinger's calls when they have questions about retirement. And they could go to New York or New Jersey to talk to anybody up there where they're located, but they call Chris Hobart in Charlotte, North Carolina for the issues that are important to you. Now, do you think that might be something we should translate to your portfolio? And people get that. In fact, for deals that we've been on the fence, and competition is high these days between a lot of advisors out there, when people are on the fence, this allows us to have a pure competitive advantage that differentiates us head and shoulders above every other advisor in our market. Now, on top of that, this allows us when we do mailings, when we do seminar invitations, when people come into our office, it allows us to consistently reinforce this. So on my mailings, I've got a picture of me on CNBC, and I've got all the places that I've been placed in. And literally, I can say I've been in every major newspaper in the U.S. market. So if somebody's from California and they like to read the L.A. Times, I can say, oh, I was in there a few months back. Maybe your family's read about me. When they come into our office, we've got a wall of fame, which is cool. It's just a bunch of our stuff framed, and we've had it all professionally framed. But then we've also got a large screen TV that's playing news clips. So when they come into my office, Mike, they're literally sitting and saturating themselves in Chris Hobart's glory.
It's the Chris Hobart show on all these different, like the CNBC clips or
yeah.
the Fox Business News. And you've got it just rapping over and over, right?
I mean, it just nonstop. It's all they see. So we let them sit out there for 5-10 minutes. By the time they sit down with me on a first appointment, guess what? They know that I'm an expert.
See, that's right. That is, Chris, I think, just an absolutely fantastic way of, I mean, you're really of positioning and creating authority and credibility. You know, at World Series of Sales, Matt Tagula was
mm-hmm.
talking about, ACE, you know, authority, credibility, and exclusivity. And, you know, the authority, credibility, you're doing such an outstanding job using PR. Now, how did you get started with PR? How did this all come about?
The first taste of PR that we did was really just looking within our local market and trying to get our name out there. But the reality is if we try and do too much of that, that's a labor intensive type of business, basically. It just takes time, and if you want to go make money working your business, that's a very hard thing to do. So sometimes it's best to outsource that. And we started with actually the PR firm that Advisors Excel uses, which is Advisors PR, and they have a fairly basic PR system that on a quarterly basis they just send out basically a news article to different organizations, and they try and get placement with that. It's quarterly. It's relatively inexpensive when you talk about PR, but guess what? It worked. We got on the local media, again, for local play. It got us there. And I think for most advisors that are looking to get some sort of credibility from this, I think that's a really good starting point. Not everybody, again, needs or wants to be on CNBC or any of those places, but to have local media pick you up and kind of point you as the expert, that's terrific. And it's also nice because you can turn it on for a while and then just turn it off. Obviously, different folks within different organizations do different things. You know, I think of Rob Dockin and Boyke, and they have different investments in media. I think starting a little bit smaller initially for a lot of folks would at least get their toe in the door, and they can say, hey, I like it or I don't, without a big financial cut up front.
Yeah, and PR, it's not like it's an overnight thing either, is it? I mean, it takes
doesn't
it?
Yeah, it does. First, I mean, let's face it, the PR people out there, they want to make sure you're not going to embarrass them. So if you go on your local news and all of a sudden you appear as somebody not educated in that field or you do something really wacky, they don't want you. But the nice thing is if you prove yourself, you all of a sudden become the resource. And the nice thing is if you do this long enough, the PR company becomes less of a factor. And what becomes more of a factor is your relationship with the different producers and everything at the different news stations, especially local, and they'll actually begin to call you without even going through the PR firm. And I got to tell you, that's where we're at right now, where we are actually so busy business-wise and with PR of our PR company calling us plus producers calling us that we're turning people down if it's not fitting our exact message. And that's just like with our clients, we want to turn down the people that aren't exactly what we want, and we're doing the same thing with media, which now allows us to hone our media. So every position that I play in the office and every article that somebody reads, it's not just general market commentary. Guess what? It's talking specifically to the ideals of what we're going to discuss with them that day, and it just is a reconfirmation. They say, wow, Chris Hobart talked about this in the Wall Street Journal, and we're talking about this today. Talk about
powerful. There's a lot of continuity there then.
Yeah. I mean, it's just reinforcing left and right.
So help everybody listen. The people are listening. So and by the way, I got on television because of Advisor PR here locally,
mm-hmm.
and that translated into a regular gig with them. And now is translating into a weekly television show that I'm going to be doing. So same kind of thing.
Great.
What kind of money do you spend at the different levels? Like when, you know, do you recall, I mean, ballpark. I mean, I'm sure it changes. It's not going to be the same for everybody. But, I mean, do you remember, like, what kind of investment in your company were you making, and you know, along the way, you know, from beginning to the mid-level to where you are now, if you don't mind sharing?
Well, and I probably won't throw exact numbers out there just because that's
yeah, just ballpark.
But
get some reference.
I guess the way that I always look at it is how much does it cost to do a seminar, and then how much does it cost in a year to do the PR. So when you do more basic PR, like what you had mentioned, you know, you could essentially equate that to two mailings and four dinners. You know, so essentially two series of seminars or four total seminars. That's what it costs you in a year. So you might just say, okay, well, I'm going to pull back on two seminar series that I'm going to do, and I'm going to put it towards the PR. And
you're just going to reallocate where you spend your marketing dollars is what you're
saying.
Yeah,
if that's going to be important to you, just reallocate that money, and it's going to help you out in that regard. The nice thing is without those seminars coming in, first of all, it's going to free up a little bit and give you some breathing room. But on the other side, now all of a sudden you've got leverage in your seminars, and hopefully you can make those seminars more powerful and, again, increase your credibility and differentiate between the others. Now, when you get into the bigger time, which, again, I guess that's what we call us right now, which is, you know, national and international media, you know, you're talking unfortunately, about more than just one or two seminar series. You know, it could equate to perhaps a seminar or half a seminar series per month.
Yeah, and you might be talking about, you might be spending $5,000 a month, for example, on PR if you want to go to a national scope.
Yeah, I mean, anywhere, again, depending on the companies and all that stuff, I've heard anywhere from $3,000 to $6,000 a month. But, again, you use that $5,000 mark. Let's say you pay $5,000, so it's $60,000 a year, and you get placed, again, a spot. If you actually got a commercial at 9:35 on CNBC for 2.5 minutes, which my last time I was on there, I spoke for about 2.5 minutes, that's going to cost you about $70,000 in commercial cost to be able to talk. Well, I can pay that over a year, and I can be on CNBC 12, 13, 14 times, not to mention all the other stuff that goes along with that.
Right. So, well, plus, remember that it comes down to how many new clients do you have? Let's use 60,000 as a number. How many new clients do you need to get to make that payoff? I mean, you get a couple clients, and you're already in gravy land, right?
Well, and it depends. If it's Bernie Madoff, he just needs one $60,000 client, and he's made his money back. Sorry.
You and I are not quite at his level, though.
That is true. We have some ethical things going for us. But, yeah, you're right. You know, you get one or two good-sized clients, and that's paid for.
Right. Well, plus, you think what you said earlier, it helps your clients brag about you, which means the referrals go up, and I'll bet you can, if you were to track the increase of your referrals compared to the expenses on PR, I mean, I'm sure the business dwarfs the expense.
Well, let's just say that, you know, I had a $10 million increase year over year last year. Let's just say half of that was based upon PR, and I don't know, or referrals from PR and all that stuff. You know, and let's just call that at 7% because that was just on my fixed business. That's not also I'm registered and all that good stuff. So 7% on 500,000 or 5 million. I'm sorry, it's 350. I can justify that expense pretty easily.
Right.
The key is that I want to point out real quick, Mike, though, for everyone listening, is do not expect PR to bring people in the door. You are not paying to have people watch you and say, "My goodness, he's brilliant. I'm coming in because this guy just knows." We have had a couple of people that have come in because of that, and they realize I'm not brilliant, and we don't get them as clients. and I say that jokingly, but it's true. We had somebody come in with huge assets. They saw me on CNBC, and they said, "My goodness, this guy's brilliant." They came in, and they're a CNBC watcher. They want somebody that's going to be that stock jockey. You know, that's all they want. That's not me.
Right, so, they're wanting, like, the Jim Cramer guy that's giving them the new hot stock tip every time they turn around.
Yeah, exactly. And, I mean, I yelled at the guy some, and no. but when we talk about it, that's really not the purpose of the PR. The PR is for credibility with clients to give them reasons to refer, and then credibility within what you're doing as well for the other marketing events that you're doing.
Right, so bottom line is we could say PR works when you leverage it, when you take that PR and then you apply it to the other marketing that you're doing. Would that be a fair statement?
And that's exactly it. Just
okay,
make sure you leverage it.
All right. Well, here, let's continue here because I know you're on limited time today. What about and then you mentioned earlier, so PR, great thing you're doing. You're having great success with it because you're leveraging it. But then also you referenced earlier, I heard you say, something about the way you really take really good care of your clients and for referrals. Can you maybe share a little bit with everyone listening, you know, what are some of the things you're doing there? Because I think you do a fantastic job with this stuff.
Well, and I got to tell you, Mike, not to toot your horn too much, but you are a big reason why we began this concept. You know, when I met with you a while back, you had mentioned, Chris, don't accept everybody. Start having a limit as to who you want to accept. And you also said, try a baseball event. You said I just did a baseball event. And what we began to realize is, while Mike is right, he was wrong, which limiting.
Wait, whoa. Let's be careful there.
Well, and here's why you're wrong. It's a good one. The thing was, limiting what clients we take in based upon assets is phenomenal. I've got to tell you at this point, and I laugh because people come into the office and it's just hard to work with folks because of the amount of time behind it, but also because of the amount now we're investing in our clients and spoiling them. So here's the thing, Mike. What we did is, you've heard of people dividing clients, A, B, C, and, you know, the whole alphabet of clients.
Oh, yeah.
We did that, and that got messy, you know, because nobody kind of knew that this magical formula. Are they a C? Are they a B? You know, maybe a C plus. So what we did is we said, look, there's really two types of clients for us. There's ideal, people we want to replicate, and then there's non-ideal, people we do not want to service anymore or really market to, spend any marketing dollars. We'll service, but we won't necessarily market to them.
Okay,
and
wait,
then
wait,
what we
don't stop right there for a second if you don't
yeah.
mind. Everybody who's listening to this, I think, Chris, I think that is so brilliant that I want you to say it again because I don't want everybody listen. You know, what you just said I think is – that is money.
I was
really
going to hold that
like
up until the journey.
Say
shoot.
It again.
Okay. Well, the concept is there's a lot of – there's different ways to classify clients. Do not get bogged down in the details of platinum, gold, silver, bronze, and foil, or A, B, C, D, and E. Instead, what you want to do is make it easy. They're either people you want to replicate, which would be an ideal client, or people you don't want to replicate. Those that
so
you do not
ideal
want to replicate.
They're not.
That, bingo. And if they're not ideal, you do not want to be spending marketing dollars on them. That means when you have special events, it might sound heartless, but they don't get invited. When you have seminars, they don't get invited.
Well, what happens if, like, they're brothers or sisters or best friends with someone who is an ideal client?
Oh, Mike, you have to ask those good questions. We do have a third category. Oh, so you caught me. I lied saying there's two categories. Third category is what we call special. And special, we have a staff discussion to say, look, is there a reason why we want to treat this person a little bit differently? Maybe not ideal, but there's a reason we have to treat them differently because it was a referral from an ideal client that's just superb, and we don't want to ruin that relationship. It's one of their kids. It's somebody, and we don't want to harm that relationship.
Right. So basically, that's where someone like me would fall. You know, it's like, you know, you really don't like me that much, but
yeah.
you kind of have to deal with me.
You know, everybody on this conference call right now is all shaking their heads saying, that is exactly Mike Reese.
So, okay, so you've got ideal, there's always going to be a few exceptions, right? But basically what you did is you said, let's identify our list. We have ideal, we have not ideal, right?
Yep.
Simple as that. And then, so what are some of the things that you do to spoil those ideal clients and try to, you know, birds of a feather flock together and try to get more of them?
Well, and that's it. You know, I mentioned your baseball concept, which is terrific. Anybody wanting to do that, a minor league baseball game is great. But we actually thought, you know, we want to have different events for big, massive crowds. But when we did that, we'd have a Christmas event and the baseball game. We didn't get to interact with clients on a deep enough level. And they also, if they brought guests, they may not have been the right guests to bring. And, you know, it just wasn't the right fit.
There's so many people,
interact.
It's hard to mingle, right? I mean, you're basically mingling, that's all you've got.
And that's exactly it. So what we did is we said, okay, we still have two big events, and that's just to spoil people, give them a reason to have a good time. But then we have every year a female event for our ideal clients only, and then a male event. That gives us a chance to interact with them. The male staff in our office interacts with them at a golf outing. And the females interact with the female clients at a ladies' tea for Valentine's Day. So as we talk about that, again, we begin to hone that down and we tell them, we want you to bring friends to this. But we began to say, well, geez, it's just not as successful. So now what we've decided to do is actually to have an ongoing monthly event that's very limited space-wise. And what we're going to be doing is actually two things. 1 month we're going to have a wine tasting. The next month we're going to have a dessert tasting. Wine tasting, dessert tasting, wine tasting, dessert tasting. Every month it's consistently on the same day of every month. And by doing that, we're limiting the amount of people to come to only 5 client couples, but their entry cost is they must bring a non-client guest or a referral. Now, by doing this, Mike, all of a sudden we've got 20 people there, no more. And we've got myself and my wife, and then perhaps one other staff member and their spouse. So that gives us 4 people to 20, which are pretty good ratios for something like that, and the ability to work the room in a purely social setting. And if we begin to talk about that, we've got 5 referral couples there, and we're not talking business. We're talking, boy, this wine is good, or this dessert is good. My only fear with this is, how big is Chris going to get by the journey? You know, am I going to be 380 pounds by then?
I thought you were going to say, my only fear is that all my clients are going to start wanting just to hang out with my wife, Renee, and not me.
Oh, boy.
What you were going to say.
We've got to be so careful not to make this just a pick on you type thing back and forth, huh?
So I think this is a fantastic idea. So how are you framing this invitation? Because, you know, I know, like, when I've done things in the past, I might say, hey, all your ticket is to bring a friend or something like that. How do you frame that invitation to basically get them to invite the right type of person?
Well, and that's where, again, it's going to be some massaging, but the key is, we're only inviting people within the ideal world of our clients. So we've already eliminated the folks that typically don't bring who we want. They might bring somebody, but it's just not the right fit for us. And then within that ideal world, we have a focus, Mike. I mean, marketing is always going to have some level of direction and focus, as you know. So what we're doing is, we're focusing on the people that have what we consider maybe those strategic relationships. And then as we talk about the invitation, you know, we're pretty particular in saying, you know, not just your ticket is a referral, but we're very specific in saying that this is a social yet referral-based event that we're looking to bring on people just like you. So by saying things like that, we want folks to understand, you know, it's not your kids. We don't want you to bring your kids necessarily. We want you to bring other retirees that are like you, and we're going to put that in the invitation subtly. We want people just like you, retirees that are looking to protect and preserve their money, blah, blah, blah. You know, and as we build that out, that gives us the chance to subtly tell our clients, look, this is what we're looking for. It's hard to put an asset size in there. Hey, you know, bring their financial statements. They have to have this much, or we're going to kick them out of the wine tasting.
Well, you know, and by the way, for everyone listening, one of the things that, again, Chris and I, we love to just bang on each other because we're buddies, right?
Yep.
But I hope you're really getting a real important key here, and that is that notice what Chris is doing. He has built his business from, you know, last year went from, you know, 10 million plus to this year 20 million plus, right?
Mm-hmm.
Doubled his business in 1 year, and so does he sit back and say, all right, that's cool, let's just keep doing that? No. He is constantly searching for ways to refine his practice to make it better, and he's always looking for a new way to market in an effective, you know, to make the most effective use of his time. And so this is, you know, he's already been spoiling his clients. Now he's taken it to a whole nother level and doing these. It's not really one-on-one. It's more, well, I guess we could call it small group events, right, Chris?
Yeah, you know, some people do that dating thing where it's more one-on-one. I don't know if you've heard that, but, you know, they'll invite clients and a guest out to a date. I can't do that. That's way too much one-on-one. So this gives me, like, that nice social feel without being overburdened with it.
Yeah, but what's really cool here is what you're – and think about – I love this, wine tasting, dessert tasting. I mean, what retired client doesn't love that idea? You know,
mm-hmm.
And then what you do is you're doing it every month. So you are literally laying out as part of, and these aren't going to cost that much money, right? I mean, what do you think? Maybe $20 a person or something?
The goal for each of these events is $500.
Okay.
$500
a month.
$500
a month.
12.
Yeah, 6,000 for the year, right?
That's a mailing.
I mean, $6,000 for the year, $500 a month. But what are you doing? Here are 12 opportunities to see 5 new prospects. That's 60 new prospects over the year. Are you kidding me? What are the odds that that doesn't work out? I mean, this is a home. I mean, that's just a slam dunk. I mean, how else can you spend $6,000 and see 60 ideal prospects?
Mm-hmm. And all warm too.
And yeah, especially with the wine. That'd be all warm and fuzzy for sure. No, but you know what I mean. That, but still, I think that's absolutely brilliant. And this is, I mean, but Chris here, he does a fantastic job never just sitting on his laurels and saying, all right, that's cool, let's just keep doing it. No, he's always looking for another path, another funnel, if you will, to bring in ideal prospects. Man, I think that's terrific.
Well,
I got to give you kudos, and you didn't. You came up with this all by yourself, huh?
I'm brilliant, aren't I?
Well,
I mean, you are.
That pains me to say that.
No. The thing to keep in mind is, you know, obviously in this world there are 1,000 different ideas, and everyone recycles and borrows equity. That's the disclaimer for everything. But the reality is, and I think you kind of made the point of this, Mike, which is I'm a firm believer in a phrase I heard years ago, which is if it's not broke, then break it.
If it's not broke, then break it.
And the key is there that, you know, sometimes when something's working, that's the best opportunity to break it and do something even better with it. And I like that concept because, again, it keeps pushing me forward. It would be easy. I remember the first year I did $5 million in fixed business, and that was, at that time, that was the number to hit. And if everybody kind of rested at that point, guess what would have happened? That would have continued to be the number to hit. And then 10 million and 15 and 20. And I mean, then you got people just shooting through the roof with crazy numbers. And the nice thing about what we're doing, Mike, is we've got to push ourselves forward. And when we push ourselves forward, we're helping our clients and we're also improving our own situations as well.
Yeah, it gives you the opportunity to buy more shoes.
That's it. And then brag to you what I got.
You know what? Yeah, that's right. Now, by the way, something else I wanted to bring up about something that I know that you do that I also know that a lot of people listening are a little, I don't want to say scared to do, but they are a little scared to do it. And that is that I know that you have, like when you still do some seminars, right?
Right.
And I know that you have systematically increased the asset level that you require to attend a seminar.
Yes.
Right.
Oh,
so what did you start at and where are you at now? And just spend a couple minutes, if you don't mind, sharing with everybody kind of what you've done and how that's helped your business.
Yeah, well, when we first began, you know, is invite anybody, you know, get a heartbeat and a breath and we're set. I mean, literally, we had somebody come to one of our workshops because we didn't do any screening or anything. And during the workshop, they didn't want to get up to use the restroom, so they just decided right there in their seat to do that. I'm not kidding you. I know that's disgusting to share this, but
Charlotte,
I mean,
North Carolina.
No, that's the thing. There's other guys out there listening right now that said that didn't just happen to me. I mean, we've all dealt with that. So you know, when we talked before, Mike, you did encourage me to step up what we're doing accepting clients. But the problem was we kept mailing then to the lower end. So we get these lower ends, and I'm like, how do I step up? So finally what we did is we said, any event we're doing, we're going to only mail to 250 and above.
Now, did you put that on the mailer as well?
You know, we did put that on the mailer sometimes. Sometimes we take it off. But I'm going to go ahead and tell you something else. I wasn't really pleased with that because here's the thing. People saying they have $250,000 and above in assets in the past economy and how they collect these numbers, that was a lie.
They weren't being honest?
Yeah, they were trying to apply for a mortgage, and they said, well, you know, I've got $250,000 and above, so I qualify for this mortgage. But the problem is you still got, you know, we did that, and we actually had somebody that was a homeless gentleman come to one of our workshops, which, you know, floored me. He had his mail from his home that he had lost being forwarded to a homeless shelter, and he came to the workshop, which that's great. I'm happy to feed him, but at the same time, these are our marketing dollars, and we've got to make sure they're spent wisely. So finally, I said, you know, with all this asset crashing and stuff like that and the lies that went on in mortgages, how about we start just targeting workshops at people that have $750, $1 million or above? And in doing that, I was scared to death. I mean, I thought, you know, we're not going to get anybody. This is going to be stupid. I actually had the most filled out workshops that I've ever had, and I can't tell you how nice it is, Mike, to sit down and everybody, just about everybody, there's a few people that still snuck through that didn't have that asset, but the people that you sit down with had $750, $1 million, $2 million, $2.5 million, and then all of a sudden, guess what you start doing? You start telling them about the media, and I'm in Charlotte. Charlotte's a big banking city. We've got Bank of America, Wells Fargo, And then I start telling them about my media, and I say, yeah, Wells Fargo and Bank of America are in the media as well, but it's not for the same reason I am. And all of a sudden, we are creating that difference between what we're doing, and it's with the higher net worth folks. And that,
yeah, really separating yourself.
Yeah, well, and yeah, $1 million client is the same as getting four $250,000 clients. The only difference is I worked a lot less, and people that have more money, guess what? They understand money better, and you actually have to do less work with a millionaire than you do with one $250,000 client oftentimes, much less four.
Yeah, thank you for saying that, because I say that all the time. I'm not sure everybody believes me. But people with $1 million are used to delegating. They don't want to be bothered with everything. They just want to know big picture. Okay, I get it. Now take care of it for me.
Well, and that's actually one thing I'm going to share at the Journey event that I'm hosting. You'd be amazed. I've seen your financial plan that you do, Mike, which is, you know, you've got some numbers and details, but it's not some of these 500-page books that you see out there. Mine literally is a picture that I draw on a whiteboard that is awful. And I mean, I'll present this to somebody with $2, $3, $4 million, and I'll talk on very general levels and say, now it's time to transfer your assets over. And guess what? I mean, this is a nasty, ugly looking picture. I'm not an artist. I put it up there, and somebody gives me $2, $3 million, and they say, okay, we trust you. Let's go with that. And I haven't even talked product. I haven't talked about anything, rate of return. Nothing.
Wait, whoa. Are you telling me that you have not given them an annuity brochure, a company brochure?
Mike, the best way to collect assets in this market is not to do brochures and all that stuff, at least to collect assets. What we found, another strong point that we have, and I can't remember who we got this from. There's a few guys that had kind of mentioned this to us, and you may have been one as well, I believe, that you want to control the assets before you talk about really any depth. And that's been our big focus this past year as well, which is saying, you know what, before we're even going to put the work into telling you about anything and go into depth, you're going to go ahead and bring the money over to us. And when you bring that money over to us, then we know you're invested and we're going to do that. But, yeah, you're right. There are certain points when putting an annuity brochure into somebody's hand is not going to, it's not going to help you out. You're going to blend with everybody else. Be different. Be confident and give them a reason to have a little mystery in what you're doing.
Yeah, amen, brother. All right, well, here's the deal. I know you got to get off the call here, right?
Because
of timing. So let's wrap this up. For every one of you listening out there, Chris, by the way, this has been a fantastic, fantastic call. And in all,
of course.
Because you're there. But in all honesty, I really appreciate you taking the time out of your day to visit with me on this. This is going to help so many people out there. So thank you very much.
Well, thanks for having me.
And you're going to have a and you're doing the journey. So if you're sitting here listening to Chris, you have got to be thinking to yourself, man, this guy has got his act together, and he does. You really want to make sure to go to that journey and listen, because Chris is going to share everything he does. I can't wait to see this this whiteboard illustration you're going to give us. Do I get to be your sample client on stage?
Oh, no.
You're not going to let me do that?
No, I will not. The last thing I need is a heckler right there. Actually, no. You know what, Mike? I will let you do it, but here's the thing. I'm going to have the husband be somebody else, and you can be the wife.
Oh, great. I could be the ugly Russian bride. Okay, good.
Really ugly Russian bride.
I could be the internet bride. So anyway, so all of you listening, make sure you call the marketer so you can get hooked up there. But, Chris, I know you have to go. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. And this is, I think, going to be one of the best CDs that these guys are going to want to give out over and over again. So
we really
appreciate it.
Well, my pleasure. And I just wish everybody out there listening best of luck. And we'll continue with sharing some good ideas at the Journey when that comes up in April.
All right. Take care. And everyone, as I always say at the end of every one of these sessions, remember, it's your business. Make it work for you. Make it serve your needs. Make your business everything you want it to be. It's in your power. So have a terrific month, everybody. We'll see you in April. Take care now. Bye-bye.